And this afternoon, friends, we're looking at verses 12 to 15. And just to put things in context, you remember how God spoke to his people through the prophet Haggai, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" And he goes on to commission his people. And we pick up the story in verse 12, and we'll read through to verse 15. "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, 'I am with you, says the Lord.' So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the people, or the remnants of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we call on your name. We humbly call on your name. God, give grace tonight that we would hear. And Father, I pray that as your word is opened up before your people, that they would be given ears and hearts. And Lord God, that this would be an abiding word for your people, not a word once heard and soon forgotten, but a word, Father, that abides and remains and affects change. And Father, not only for them, but for the sake of our city. Father, hear us as we cry out to you this evening for grace upon grace as we look now at your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Hear us, we pray. Amen. 5:30. That was dinner time at the Stringer household. Not 5:31. Not 5:32. And definitely not 5:33. 5:30. That was the non-negotiable, non-arguable time for dinner. We had to be there. Now, if you're a boy in the middle of a street hockey game, you know the difficulty of putting that aside and having to go home and having to be there at 5:30. And I remember not on a few occasions where my mom would step outside and holler down the street and call me to the dinner table. And I was presented at that time with just a very terrible quandary. What do you do? Do you bail out of the Stanley Cup championship hockey game right there and head home? Or do you do what? It was a struggle for a young boy. I believe that God's people were facing a similar and yet a more serious quandary when Haggai the prophet showed up. Because one day Haggai came along and said, "Thus says the Lord," and began to ask them and point out to them their lives, their paneled house lives. And God was saying, "Is it time for you to be busy living in your paneled houses while the house of God lies in ruin? Is it busy to go on doing your own thing? When my house is not yet ready, when it's not yet fixed, and where my name is not yet worshipped?" That was the question that was put to the people of God. What do you do? Did you put the lawnmowers away? Did you finish that coat of paint? Did you clean the pool? Or do you listen to the word of God and get up into the mountains and start chopping trees to bring down to build the house of God? What do you do? Well, we know what God's people did, don't we? Because we just finished reading it this evening. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. Did you see that? Did you read that? They obeyed the voice of the Lord. They went up into the mountains. They cut down the trees. They brought them home. Amazing. Just 3 weeks after the call of God goes out to them, they're busy building. And my question tonight is this. What was it that got them building? What is it that translated hammering or hearing into hammering? Listening into lopping down trees. Receiving into responding to God's call. What was that? Because I'm asking, I think, one of the most important questions, I believe, that you can ever ask as a believer today. How do we get from hearing God's call to build to actually building God's kingdom? To actually winning people for Jesus Christ and bringing them in to become worshipers of God. How do you do that? How do you get from where you are, let's say right now, where maybe you are busy with your paneled house lives, and you're very preoccupied with your life, doing this and doing that, you know, just consumed with whatever you do, to actually building the kingdom of God? Don't you want to know? Well, I believe that we have some help here this evening, because I believe that the answers are embedded right here in this story. That there are three building requirements necessary to get us from just hearing to hammering. From just listening to lopping down trees. From just receiving to responding God's call to build. And here they are this evening in order. First of all is this. You need to fear His presence. Did you get that? You need to fear His presence. Right after we're told that they obeyed the voice of the Lord, we're told this. And the people did what? And the people did what? Come on, wake up. Don't go to sleep on me now. This is the Word of God we're talking about here, friends. What's that? No. Right above that. Right after it says, and they obeyed the voice of God. It says it right there in your text. And the people did what? They feared the presence of the Lord. Those are not unconnected ideas. These people had a sense of God that just gripped them and moved them to build. Just a sense of God's nearness that, you know what, they just, okay, I don't want that paintbrush anymore, and we can put the lawnmower back in the shed, the weed eater, we don't need that anymore, you know, because I'm not going to be preoccupied with that stuff. I'm going to be busy building the house of God. They had a sense of God's presence that did that. Where? Where did they get that sense from? Well, it's not a stretch of logic, I don't believe. But the answer is right there in your text as well. You ready for it? They heard and obeyed the what? The voice of God. Now follow me on my logic, because I think it's impeccable. If you hear a voice, what do you know that isn't too far away from that voice? The person. The presence. When Haggai showed up one day saying, "Thus says the Lord," eyes bulged, a lump in the throat hardened, ears perked up, and they heard and knew that God was with them. You see, prophets were not a dime a dozen in Israel. Oh, there goes another prophet. No. When a prophet showed up in Israel, it was usually because God had something to say to His people. In fact, it was usually because of some trouble that God went to all the trouble of getting a prophet to address some trouble that God's people had troubled God about. That's why God sent prophets, by and large. And so when they heard the voice of God, they knew that God was what? Present. It's like back in the garden, right? Remember what Adam heard? After he sinned, he heard what? The sound of God walking in the garden. And what did he do? He bolted for the nearest bush. Why? Because he knew that God's presence was pretty close to that sound, that voice that he heard. I believe that God's people back then had a healthy respect for the Word of God. I mean, they knew that when somebody spoke and said, "Thus says the Lord," that God was actually there. And I think there's such a terrible danger, friends, of coming along and hearing the preaching of the Word of God and thinking to yourself, well, that's a nice sermon about God, or that's a useful info session on God Himself, or now I know how to think, well, hang on for a second here. No. That's not how it works. This is the Word of God. This is the voice of God. And if you are hearing the voice of God, you've got to know something, that God is present here. He's present in the preaching of His Word, and He is present in the preaching of Haggai. And so God says to you this, and forget that I'm here. Put me out of your minds. And with the eyes of faith, hear your Creator who stands here today and says this to you. Is it now time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while the temple lies in ruins? I'm not here. Hear that as the voice of God. And understand that God is here in this room this evening. And that's the question that He's asking you, each of you. Is it time for you to be busy about your own lives? When the temple of God is not yet built, people are not yet saved, and God's name is not yet exalted and worshipped. I'm not here. But God is. And that's the question that God is asking you tonight. Back in the 1500s, a man by the name of Farel threatened John Calvin with the wrath of God, said, if you go away and you live a life of leisure, just reading and writing, and you don't stay in Geneva, God will curse you. John Calvin stayed in Geneva. And God didn't curse him. I don't think God would have cursed him had he gone wherever he was going to go. It's an extreme example, I understand. But the point is there, and John Calvin understood, was sensitive to it. If there is a word from God, and there is, I believe, here, God is present, and His claim is on your life. Friends, I'm sorry. In a sense, I brought the book of Haggai to you because you know what? God is speaking and He wants to do something in your life. And He has a claim on your life. And you really have no option, if you're going to be obedient and faithful, but to listen to the Word of God tonight and do something about it. It's not a take it or leave it kind of thing. God is in His holy house. Even here, with these ridiculous drapes and these unpainted walls, and 85-degree weather. Friends, God is here. Do you believe it? Do you hear His voice? Let that grip you and move you to obey His voice tonight. The people of God did. You need to fear His presence. But second of all, you need to hear His promise. To hear His promise. I have never built anything larger than a model airplane in my life. I know my limits. If one of you came to me and said, Kieran, I want you to build a house, I'd say, there's no way. I can't build you a house. I don't have the resources, the skill, or the time. I can't do it. I want us for a moment just to try and consider how massive this project, this task was that God gave to His people. Understand this. They had to go out and get the building materials for this job. There weren't any Home Depots in the day. There weren't any lumber yards that just sort of dropped the stuff off on the site. These people had to go up into the mountains, cut down the trees, and hike them all the way down to Jerusalem and then start building. Okay, that's a very big job. And then second of all, think about this. They had to have the right manpower and know-how how to pull this thing off, which means that they needed engineers and architects. They needed foremen and framers and finishers and people to fetch stuff. This job took 4 years to accomplish. From the time Haggai showed up until its completion, 4 years. That's a very, very long time to be building, don't you think? And my sense is this, that somewhere in those 4 years, with the addition of enemies intimidating them, that these people needed some encouragement, wouldn't you think? My sense is that maybe, 2 years into this job and seeing the thing only half done, that these people needed some encouragement. My sense is that with enemies intimidating and threatening them, that they needed some encouragement. What do you think? I believe that. Well, God gave them some encouragement through the prophet Haggai. He said what? I am with you. I'm with you. And God was. And they completed this thing in 4 years. But God said, I'm not going to leave you alone to do this. I'm going to actually be there with you and help you. My hand will be on you to bless you. And you will be victorious. You will succeed in the building of this house. Now, friends, if they needed encouragement, how much more do you need it today? Because I'll tell you something. I think that you're involved in a way more difficult enterprise than they ever were. I mean, you think about it. Trees do not refuse to be cut down. Trees do not offer up objections. Trees do not attack you. Trees are not dead in their sins and trespasses. But you know what the world is? You know what? This is the stuff that God is using to build His temple. Living stones, right? I mean, you can move a tree. You can't move the heart of a man. You can't bend His will. We are involved in a much more difficult enterprise than they ever were. We're dealing with human beings. And not many today are interested in Jesus Christ. Things spiritual? Absolutely. Jesus Christ, their Lord and King? Not really. We got a hard task ahead of us, friends. But you know what God says in His Word? I am with you. And by the way, if you didn't hear that, God repeats Himself in Matthew 28. Where Jesus this time, and not Haggai, says, and lo, I am with you, when? Always, even to the end of the age. Do you know what that translates into for you? This. It means this. When you go out this week, when, not if, when you go out this week and talk to people about Jesus Christ, God says, I'm going to be with you right at that moment. When you try to witness for me, Jesus says, I'm going to be right with you. When you invite people to our connection groups this coming fall, God says, I am with you. In all that you do, in trying to reach people for my name's sake, I am with you. You're not on your own. I'm right there. Right there. And you know what? You need to remember that. You really do. Because some of you think that you're doing it by yourself, don't you? And those of you who are afraid to do it are afraid because you think that you're alone and you think that terrible things are going to happen. Friends, God says, I'm with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? And you have got to hold on to that promise, friends, as we go out and seek to bring our culture to Jesus Christ. God says, I am with you. You need His promise. And then lastly, you need His prompting. You need to receive His prompting. And I believe that this is the greatest requirement for obeying God's call to build. Because unless God prompts you to build, you're not going to build. Unless the Lord builds His house, the laborers labor in vain. Right? And I believe that God's people would have remained idle had God the Spirit not prompted them, stirred up the spirits of His people to work. That's exactly what He did. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And that expression, to stir up, means to excite to activity. In fact, one translation, it's called the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses a word which is translated in the New Testament as taking from death to life. From death to life. And you know what I think, friends? I think that we need something a lot like that. Don't you? When you think about evangelism, honestly, don't you feel like you need something a lot like being raised from death to life? I mean, come on, look at your heart. Think of the lack of desire. Think of your unwillingness. Think of your track record. How many people have you spoken to Jesus Christ about the past month, 2 months, 3 months? When was the last time you sat down and really laid out the gospel so that somebody could make an intelligent decision for Jesus Christ? When? Don't we all need something like a great Holy Spirit shake-up? Yes. Thank you, Wendy, for your honesty. Thank you. I feel that I need something like a Holy Spirit shake-up, a great stirring. Because there's an idleness here. There's an idleness. How many of you feel idle tonight? How many of you are very busy with your paneled houses when the house of God lies in ruins and there isn't the desire in your heart to do any different? Yeah. Well, you know what you need? What we need? We need to be stirred up by God Almighty to do this. And unless God stirs us, ain't nothing going to happen. Man, we're just going to keep on playing in our paneled homes. One more coat. Around the yard we go. One more time on our lawnmower. Out comes the weed eater. And around and around and around we go. For what? Well, God's house lies in ruins. Well, that great petition, hallowed be your name, is not accomplished in our day, in our culture. I don't think so, friends. What you and I need is a great Holy Spirit shake up and shake down and shake sideways and a stirring up to get us out and into a world that's dying and going to hell. And friends, it is. And you know what? If you're like me, I don't know what to do about that except this. Oh, God, you have got to give me the grace. Oh, God, you've got to move into my heart. You've got to transform and change this man from the inside out. And give me a heart of compassion, because you know what, God? You know I don't care enough about my neighbor to tell him about Jesus Christ. Something that's going to move us past the Lord's day. You know? Something that's going to get us past the excitement of the preaching of the Word of God. Not to diminish it, but friends, we need God to move in such a huge way. And I don't know where to get that except at the throne of grace. Jesus says that He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it. Do you want that? Do you want to be stirred up? Or are you content with your homes? Are you just content doing what you do? I'm not content. I'm not content for me, and I'm not content for you. Because there's a city, friends, that lies in darkness. And this has got to be priority number one. Hallowed be your name. Not hallowed be your name. Hallowed be His name. And I'm saying tonight, forget about your homes. Forget about your paneled life, homes, house, life. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's time to get busy thinking about the house of God. The house of God. And I want to mess with your priorities tonight. I want to mess with them. And I want God to come down here tonight. And I want Him to change hearts. And break us, friends. I'll tell you something. Hear me tonight. I'm talking to my congregation, but those of you who are visiting, glad you're here. But just listen on, friends. You are stuck. You're stuck. And you know it. And I'm stuck. And we need the Spirit of God to get in here and break us out of this place. And that's why I'm going to ask you to do something I have never asked you to do before. And I wish more of the people of Living Hope were here to do this. But maybe I'll get them anyways. I want to ask you to covenant with God. To pray every single day for the rest of the summer, the rest of July, and all of August, every day. That God would move in our church here, in our hearts, and transform our hearts and get us out of our stuckness and get us away from the priority that we call our paneled homes and get busy building the house of God. And so I'm asking tonight, which of you will covenant with God right here tonight? All of July, all of August, every day. Before you do, I want to read you the Word of God. That which has gone from your lips, that you shall perform, for you voluntarily vow to the Lord your God what you have promised. That's what the Word of God says. You have to know what a vow is, but I want you, I'm calling you tonight, to covenant with God, to pray every day. Friends, ain't nothing going to change here unless we're praying. Let me tell you a story about Jim Cimbala. He's the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. You might not agree with his theology in some respects, but what he cannot be faulted on is this, his prayer life. This man, years ago, was involved in his church, a tiny church, maybe 30 people like we have here tonight, maybe. And he was so discouraged one night, he got to the pulpit and he couldn't preach. And he just broke down and sobbed. And the people came up one by one to the podium and they just prayed. And something amazing took place. God moved in. Because God is attracted to weakness. And when we say that we are weak, and when we call on the name of the Lord, things will happen. But not until, and not unless. And so I'm asking you tonight, who will covenant before God with me to pray for the rest of July and all of August for God to move into our hearts and stir us up to build His kingdom? Which of you? Angie, Calvin, Elisha, Steve, Jason, Phil, Wendy. The covenant, the oaths are upon you. Friends, let's give ourselves to this. and let us see what God will do here for our city and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin tonight. We will pray. And I just want to let the Spirit of God move you to pray however you will tonight, but we will pray and we will fall before our God in prayer for the sake of our city. Our Father in heaven, we covenant with you tonight that we will be faithful for the sake of our city. We will pray every day this summer for you to move into our hearts and stir us up and take us to the mountains to cut down lumber, to bring a build in your temple. Father, we don't need to be many to be used by you. And Father, you can use a few, you can use many to do whatever you want. Lord, all we are saying is that we have reached the end. And Father, our results have not been as great as we had intended. And Father, we have tried to do things for you. But Father, we have not tried the thing which we most need. And so we confess our sin before you this evening for doing that. And we pray, Father, for this. Consider us, look at us. We are humbling ourselves before you. We are admitting our weakness. We are saying, Lord, that we cannot do this work in our own strength. Father, if our city is to be touched and reached with your gospel, you must do it. You must stir up our hearts. You must move us out. You must awaken us from the clutch of materialism that has laid hold of our hearts and our minds. And God, we pray that you would lay hold of us in such a way that we must declare the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you will help us to be faithful as we discharge our vows before you day by day, calling on the name of the Lord. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Hear us, Father. We beg you.